Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. You can hear the show every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon Central. And there are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast. 7 past the hour at Faith Radio. The Bible talks about blessings and curses. And our friend Bill English from BibleandBusiness.com says, it's always better to go for the blessing. Good morning, Bill.
There you go.
There you go. Yes, thank you very much. I know you're a coffee aficionado. Okay, so for the past couple of weeks, you've been leading us in kind of an applied Bible study on curses, which got us pretty bummed out. And I understand this week you're going to cheer us up by talking about blessings.
Yes, I'd rather talk about God's blessings than God's curses. But, you know, if we'll recall, a curse is an incremental or a background degradation of our work and our persona in which our work doesn't produce the results that it normally should. And so we work harder and harder to achieve less and less. Well, guess what? A blessing, Bill, is just the opposite. It's an incremental background increase in our work and our persona in which our hard work achieves more and more than it otherwise would. And that's what a blessing is.
Okay, so when you said hard work, it sounds like you have to put some initiative into it. You don't just sit there on the sofa waiting for God to bless you by winning the lottery.
Yes, that would be correct, unless you worked very hard at buying that ticket, which I doubt actually happened.
Okay. So effort, it really does start with some effort on our part. You know, there's an old expression, God can't steer a parked car. We actually have to put some initiative into it in order for the blessing to occur.
Exactly. And the initiative is not just about the hard work, but the initiative is about the resistance to sin. And this is something that you won't hear very much in our pulpits. But in order to achieve God's blessings, and not achieve, that's the wrong word, in order to enjoy God's blessings, we need to be abstaining from sin. And James is very clear that we have to resist the devil. So there's an active element there where we are being tempted and we are actively resisting that temptation. That's part of that hard work, in my estimation.
I almost caught you being Joel Osteen there for a second.
Oh,
you said,
what? Come on now.
You said, in order to achieve God's blessings. And I know you do not believe that we earn those things.
Oh, that, man, that hurt.
Salvation is a free gift. Well, you know, you do have that nice hairdo there, Bill.
Yes,
you,
I do.
A little bit of a little bit of resemblance. Just kidding.
Well, and it's a full head, too, by the way.
Okay, there you go. Now, I know you believe business owners can actually have God bless their businesses by living righteously before Him. What are some scripture references that we can look to?
You know, I love this. And by the way, by my calculations, blessings are mentioned roughly 4 times as often as curses in the scripture.
Good news.
Which I love that. I just love that. But let me just give you an example. Genesis, all these come from Genesis. Genesis 2:28. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. You can go to Genesis 17:20, where God is talking to Abraham, and he says, as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. You can go to Genesis 24:35, where a servant is talking about Abraham here, and it says, the Lord has blessed my master abundantly, and he has become wealthy. What are the common threads among these and dozens of other verses when we talk about blessings? And some of the things that I pull out of it is that blessing is a positive increase, right? God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in numbers. Over and over again, when you're under God's blessing, in the Bible at least, you'll have this concept of increase. You'll have this concept of growth. You'll have this concept of maturing. Those kinds of elements are all part of God's blessings. So it's growth, it's not death, it's increase, it's not decrease, It's a happy state. You know, Bill, if you were to kind of, what are the emotions behind all of these blessings? It would be happy. It wouldn't be sad. It would be satisfaction and comfort and those kinds of positives. All those things, I think, are a part of God's blessings.
So what do we say to a person, and Bill, this is one of those tough ones, but let's say you have a business owner who is really living in a righteous way, and in fact, they're ethical, they're following God's precepts in all aspects of their life, they're giving to charity, they're philanthropists, they're putting part of their profits back into the community, and yet their business fails.
That's a tough one, because what I don't want this to come across as is where if you just live righteously, you will automatically be under God's blessings. That is, how do I say this? That is a somewhat true statement, that if you live righteously, you will experience God's blessings. But sometimes God calls the righteous to suffer, right? And that would appear to us, Bill, to be something where we're suddenly not under God's blessing. And the most I can say to that is that the scriptures hold those two concepts in tension and don't really ever offer a final explanation as to how those two things work out. On the one hand, if we follow God's precepts and we live according to his law, we will be blessed. On the other hand, it is very clear that the righteous sometimes will suffer for doing good, and that is commendable by God. And I don't know how always to reconcile those two.
Well, we probably have to start with the place that we live in a fallen world. Bad things do happen to good people, because the way the fall has affected all aspects of our life, even economics. And the fact is, Satan has been given a limited amount of power on this earth. So there's a demonic agency at work. There's free will. Certainly, people have the ability to buy a product or not buy a product. God gives each of us that free will. So there are no guarantees. And so I think we have to be really careful that we don't fall. And I'm not trying to criticize Joel Osteen. I made kind of light of it before, but we've got to be careful when we hear or we read Christian books that basically say, hey, if you are faithful and if you pray, everything's going to go great. Because that is not at all what Scripture says.
Yeah, I would totally agree. And I would say that prosperity gospel, where God is like this cosmic bellhop and we live a certain way so we can punch all of the economic wonderful buttons, it just isn't going to work that way. And I don't think God ever promised us that. And yet, at the same time, the promises of blessing given to Christians who live righteously before God is so numerous and so abundant in Scripture, it's hard to minimize that part of the teaching.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Bill English. He is the founder of BibleAndBusiness.com. If you want to check it out online, BibleAndBusiness.com, some great resources there. We'll take a quick break and be right back here on the Faith Radio Network. Good morning, 17 past the hour, the Faith Radio Network. It's Bill Meyer with my friend Bill English of BibleAndBusiness.com. We've been talking about blessings, because over the past few weeks, Bill was talking about curses, and he decided he wanted to do something more positive. So we do appreciate that, Bill. One of the things I think we have to be careful of is doing what Job's friends did, so-called friends, in the book of Job. When Job, who was a righteous man, experienced tragedy in his life, God basically allowed Satan to sift him, to test him. And, his good buddies said, well, he must have sinned, just repent. And if we see a person who is suffering in some way in life, whether that's from a business perspective, their business is failing, or they have some health crisis or a relationship issue, whatever it might be, we have to be really, really careful not to read into that and say, well, somehow this person was being unrighteous and God is punishing them.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. We can't know the inner workings of a person's heart and mind. All we can know is what they say and do. And so I would agree that if we see a brother in the Lord who owns a business and is experiencing a downturn, we should not immediately attribute that to sin. But those who are close to that individual, it would be an appropriate question to ask, is there any private sin that you're harboring? But not everybody should be asking that question.
No, and we talked about this before. Sometimes businesses do fail because the business owner, the CEO, is involved in some kind of private sin. Nobody knows about it because it's not reported in the media, and the shareholders don't know about it. But those closest to that individual know. What does it mean, Bill, to be a righteous business person and to follow God in all aspects of your work and your business?
Yeah, so let me just tick off three things here real quick for the audience today. In order to be a righteous business owner and to run your business according to God's laws, first of all, I think you have to be able to hear his voice in decision making. There's a lot that the scriptures give us about how to make decisions, but in the book that I'm writing, we're going to spend an entire chapter on how to hear God's voice and why you want to hear his voice in decision making, both in the larger decisions and the smaller ones. The second thing that I would say here is that you also want to live with a stewardship mindset. It's really not your business. That business is an entrustment to you by God to be used for God's glory. It's not your business. It's not your profits. It's not your money. It's nothing is yours there. It really all belongs to God. And so
that's a hard one, Bill. That let's be honest.
It's a basic mind shift because so many business owners and, frankly, so many pastors. It's my pulpit. It's my business. No, it's not. It belongs
to
God.
You sound like a Southern Baptist there. It's my pulpit.
Because I had a Baptist once tell me, it's my pulpit, Bill.
Okay.
And that always comes back when it was during an interview. And it's like, okay, I guess I don't belong here.
Okay.
And then finally, last week, and I'm from Indiana, too, so I can get into that Southern part pretty quick.
Yeah.
Now, finally, live with his purposes of being the focus of your business. So profits, passions, products, and philanthropy. Those four purposes that God has instituted for business, those should be the measurement stick of how your privately held business measures success. Mm. And so, and again, that's part of the book that I'm writing. So.
Yeah, Bill has a lot of these resources available at his website. We should mention, Bill, you actually have a brand new podcast area at BibleandBusiness.com.
I do. I've set up a podcast area. I'm grabbing these morning interviews, and we're podcasting them there. We're linking back to Faith Radio so that people can find the resources here at Faith Radio, plus some of the sermons that I've preached recently in the last 2 years are also up there. And so if people want to go and listen to the podcast, they're at BibleandBusiness.com.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.